So, I guess I can say a few words. I was just thinking about something, so I wanted to reveal some of the thoughts in my mind. Zom Ganat, Timidandasha, Gananjana, Shilakaya, Chakshur, and Miditam, Yenet, as my Shigurveena Mahap. So, I'd like to thank everybody for coming here for this nice, heartfelt reception. It's nice, isn't it? Uh-oh. And there's... Anyway. It's Kali Yuga. So, it's nice the community here has, you know, really warm family spirit amongst the whole community. And of course, I think I attribute that to your strong sanghas here, where everyone is just getting a lot of association and knowing each other, isn't it? I mean, everybody, it's sort of like a lot of social interaction here on the Krishna conscious basis. So those sanghas keep a community strong, like, you know, Dadati, Pratigranati, Gunyamakyati, Prichati, Vungte, Bojyate, Chaiva. Giving prasadam, accepting prasadam, of course, revealing one mind and confidence, and hearing from others, and giving gifts and accepting gifts. So it's a very wonderful example, I think, that other places should emulate. So I was thinking today, because some things came up, that I was thinking of the verse in Bhagavad Gita, you know, the famous verse, Sarva Dharmam Prachaja. Anyone heard of that verse? No one heard of that verse. Okay, Bhagavad Gita. That's the book spoken by Krishna 5,000 years ago. He spoke it in Auckland, New Zealand. Right? Am I wrong? No. Where did he speak it? Does anyone know where he spoke Bhagavad Gita? New Dwarka?
New Varshan.
New Varshan? No, you're wrong. Any other ideas? I'll give you an idea. Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, Samaveta Yud Sabaha. Where? Kurukshetra. You got it. Okay. Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, Samaveta Yud Sabaha. Anyway. So, in this verse, the famous verse, of course, this is, you know, perhaps the most famous of the verses in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dhamma prachaja mamaikam shadam praja ham tvam sarva papayavyo mokshishyami masya. So, basically, it's a surrender verse, right? Just surrender unto me, etc. So, I was actually thinking of the word surrender, what it really means. Does anyone have an idea what surrender means? Does it mean to do what Krishna says?
To some extent, it means serving.
To do what Krishna says? Yes or no?
Yes.
That's very little of it. Actually, I was thinking about that because basically, in the culture that many of you come from, that you do things because you have to do things. You know, it's like... You do things because, I mean, it's like in Fiji, of course, they have the demigod worship. You know about that. And you worship demigods because you're afraid, two reasons. You're afraid of what will happen if you don't worship demigods. And you want the benefit of worshiping the demigods, your material benefit. So these are the two basic reasons for worshiping the demigods. Just like in Fiji, sometimes a devotee joins the movement and his parents are saying, don't give up the worship of the demigods. And somehow or something happens, the devotee gets dengue fever or something like that. You know what dengue fever is? And the parents say, see? He goes, you're not worshiping Durga, you got dengue fever. You ever see that happen? So, in other words, there is a lot of worship of the demigods or things going on because out of fear or a promise of reward, right? So, many cultures are like that. Isn't it? They're fear-based culture, you know, reward culture. And that actually, in the past, children were actually brought up in the same way, right? That philosophy is called the smacker or cracker philosophy of bringing up children. I'll explain what it means. Once upon a time, there was a lady in the airport, and she had a little child with her. And the child was real quiet. And everyone went up to the mother and said, wow, you have such a nice little boy. And what is your secret with this little child? Because most children, you know, they're crying and doing things. And she said, If he cries, I smack him. And if he's quiet, I give him a cracker. Right? You've heard this example before. So I was thinking, this is how you actually train animals. Right? Have any of you been to, like, animal parks where they have, like, dolphins or porpoises that jump up in the air and chant Hare Krishna? No, they don't chant Hare Krishna. But they jump up in the air and they go through hoops and, you know, do all sorts of things. And you see what they, when the porpoise does something nice, what do they do with it? They give it fish. The porpoise is not a vegetarian. The dolphin is not a vegetarian. So it's trained, or dog, for example, same thing. You try train up in the same way. Because there's no reasoning with a porpoise. You don't say to the porpoise, you know, today we're going on stage. And would you be willing to jump a little higher, you know? And then you go over the lines, you know, the dramatic lines before the porpoise does his thing. But, you know, the porpoise actually is, he's actually trained up because of reward and punishment, right? So there's a problem with that. Not with porpoises, but with human beings. Because human beings, when they're trained that way, they actually disconnect from the heart. You understand? Like there's a heart disconnection. Because surrender, talking about surrender, surrender is not just doing what Krishna wants. Actually, surrender is described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In the nutshell verse, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma navratam anukul yena krishnana shilana bhakti uttama. That's really what surrender means. It says, so surrender means to serve Krishna. Yes, to do what Krishna wants, to be active in doing it, and to do it from the heart. So that's really what surrender, surrender actually has to come from the heart. Then, I mean, the word surrender also has a negative connotation to it. It's actually, you know, people don't like the word anyway. So then when it's from the heart, it's stable. Then a devotee is steady. Because that's actually the stage of nishta. When you're progressing in devotional service, you go ado shradatata sadhu sangota bhajanakriyata nartinavritti shat ado nishta and then ruchi, like that, ruchi. So nishta means steadiness. So steadiness, according to the acharyas, in devotional service means not only when you're in the temple room chanting your japa, but 24 hours a day. There's two types of steadiness. One is in your bhajan, the other one is in, you know, your life in general. In other words, if you're a devotee, you don't just like check out, you know, now I'm working as a devotee, you know, and now I got my vacation, I can be angry, I can be lusty and everything like that. So anyway, so getting back to the point is, surrender to me means to do things for Krishna because you're really voluntarily, you're doing it, you're choosing to do it for Krishna, rather than you're just fearful of what will happen if I don't chant my rounds today. Or, if I, you know, if I do chant my rounds, I'll get money, you know, or something like that. You know, so reward and punishment. So that's really what surrender to me means. And I'm saying that, I mean, many times we come from a culture, getting back to the point, where we're just trained up to do things out of reward and punishment, especially when we take the young people and train them up. So the idea is to change that culture with the young people, to encourage them to voluntarily give their heart to Krishna. How do you do that? You know, sometimes in the past, in our society, we tried to force young people to give their heart to Krishna. That doesn't work. You can't force the heart. You know, like we would take kids at kirtan, young kids, you know, 5 or 6 years old, and if they didn't dance, you'd say, dance, partner. You know, like they did in the old Western movies, you know, they take out a gun. You ever see that? The Western movies, you know, American Western movies. Dance, partner. You shoot at their feet, you know. And of course, you're going to dance if someone's shooting bullets at your feet. But it's not going to be, you know, one of those Bollywood dancing things. It's going to be a miserable dance. And so, anyway, so being forced to do things. Or doing things just because it's a ritual, you know. Why are you doing this? You know, this is a ritual. We're supposed to do it. We have to do it. We must do it. And not from the heart. That's not really devotional service. Nor will you be steady in devotional service. Nor will you have a taste in devotional service. And actually, Prabhupada, I was just reading, that you can perform all the rules and rituals in devotional service and actually make no advancement. Unless you're doing it with your body, mind, and words. And mind, in this case, means heart. So in other words, it has to be a voluntary action, the surrender. So how do you encourage people to voluntarily surrender? I mean, that's a contradiction anyway, voluntary surrender. I think about it. That's called in English an oxymoron. Voluntary. Oxymoron means you have two words next to each other. Anyone know English here? I mean, two words that are a contradiction, you know, hot, cold. It's a hot, cold day. That's like a... What?
Deafening silence.
Yeah, deafening silence. That's an oxymoron. Yeah, that's a perfect example. Deafening silence. But it actually means something, too. So, how can we actually encourage people to give their heart to Krishna? I mean, that's a real big question. And the way we do that is, first of all, we don't threaten people. We don't yell at people if they don't do it. I mean, this is the first don't. And then what do? We actually describe how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful the spiritual world is, and leave it up to people to decide for themselves. And you know what? Some people will decide not to. And even some of your children may decide not to. That's life. Because everyone has free will. And Krishna gives that free will. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says at the end, you know, after he says surrender to me, he says, now you heard all these things, you know, deliberate on it. Let me know what you decide, Arjuna. I'm just paraphrasing. He doesn't say, Arjuna, all right, you heard the lesson. I spent all this time with you. So get to work. And shut your mouth, Arjuna. I don't want to hear any of these stupid arguments you gave me before. You know, that, you know, you're going to kill your family members. You know, don't get sentimental with me. He said at the end, now you choose, right? Or he didn't say, do what I want, Arjuna, or I'm going to give you a spanking. or you're going to hell. You know, like some people go in some religions, they come up to you and say, surrender unto the blank, 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 or you're going to hell. You know, this is not surrender. He said, Arjuna, you deliberate on this and you consider what is the right choice. And Arjuna, of course, chose to fight for Krishna. So devotional service should be approached by that, like that. Just like in a voluntary spirit, and if some people choose not to, that's fine. We don't have to get angry with them. It's not going to do any good anyway. And if you force someone to be a devotee or force someone to do something devotional, what will happen is that when you're not looking, they'll be dancing Bollywood dances behind closed doors. Right? When the sannyasi is away, the disciples will play. See, you gave me a topic for my... Thank you. So therefore, for many of you, getting back to the point, for many of you coming, like the older generation here, this is actually a really important point. For many of you coming from the older generation, you've been trained up in this have to, supposed to, or you're punished consciousness. I mean, we're not finding fault. That's just the way you've been trained. You know, kids have been like fearful of their fathers. You know, like in Fiji, for example, I talk to the children, I say, you know, how do you feel about your father? You know, not children, like 30-year-old people. For me, anyone under 50 is a child, so. But anyway, so. Is a baby, you know. And life begins at 60, yeah. So I asked them, you know, what's your relationship with your father? And he said, when I was young, even if he looked at me, I got scared and started shaking. And I'm just thinking, that's the culture people have brought in, and they're transferring that methodology of interacting with each other to their present relationships. And they're transferring that to also their relationship with Krishna, too. And that's not healthy. Now, on the other hand, that's the old generation, all you old folks. Anyone over 80? But anyway, but that's the old generation. On the other hand, you have this new generation here, which is the real challenge, who are different because they're actually exposed to the world and they know that people can make choices and they know if their father yells at them, they can call the police to come arrest their father. Right? They know their rights. You know, the child will read, these are your rights. and they'll give you a piece of paper, give the parent a piece of paper. These are your rights. You should not yell. You shall not chastise. You should not threaten. Here's the contract. Anyway, so not really, not that bad. But the point is, so there's a whole change in generations now, which is really interesting, because I'm observing this with the old generation, which function on what I call domination culture, where you do things because of threats and reward and punishment and things like that. And the new generation, which is more or less wants to make their own mind up about things. So this is the real challenge I have in Fiji, actually, in dealing with the old generation and new generation. So what I'm speaking to, I'm actually speaking more or less to you old folks, that try to understand the young people in our society, that they are actually, they're actually making their own decisions in life, and we should encourage them in a very soft, sweet, positive way to take up Krishna consciousness. Okay? That's my lesson tonight. And also, oh, wow, you were in university, right? Just come back. Thank you. And also for you young people, be empathic with your parents, because they were brought up in a different culture. And if somehow or other, they're not functioning in the way you would like, just be empathic, because they were brought up in a different culture. So this is a real challenge, the change of cultures right now between these different generations. But we ask both halves to be empathic with each other. In other words, understanding, empathic, not to find fault, and to reach out from the heart to each other, and to reach out to Krishna from the heart. Because that's what surrender means. Surrender means to voluntarily decide to give Krishna your heart. And when the heart's there, everything else follows. But if you just put the body there, and the heart's not there, it won't work. If you're just doing, examine why you're doing what you're doing. You chanting your rounds? Why are you chanting your rounds? Are you chanting your rounds because you have to? It won't work. You're not going to make much spiritual advancement. Are you getting up early because you have to? That doesn't work. If you're getting up early because you're choosing to give your heart to Krishna, that works. If you're chanting your rounds because you have as your objective to love Krishna, that will work. So that applies for the old folks and the young folks. Okay? Think about why you do what you're doing, and try not to do anything because you're forced to, have to, must, or you're scared. Okay? Nice little lesson. Okay, any questions or comments? Interesting.
So some people can choose, okay, I was supposed to chant 16 rounds.
Yeah.
I have given the choice.
Yeah, you have that choice. The free will is always there, the living entity. That's your choice. If you choose not to be Krishna conscious, that's your choice. I'm not going to go at, if you say, I'm not chanting my rounds, you say to me, Maharaj, whatever, I'm not chanting my rounds. I'll ask you. I won't say, you rascal, you demon, you fallen, you idiot. I mean, I have millions of words, right? You, what else? What other words do we have? Come up with some more, we're brainstorming, You're going to hell. Don't you want to please me? Don't you want to play? Don't you understand? You're making Prabhupada suffer. You're making your spiritual master suffer. He's suffering because of your offenses. Wow. I may get you to chant your rounds again, but it's not going to be with your heart. So instead, I will ask you, why aren't you chanting your rounds? And then we'll discuss it back and forth. And I'll say, if you don't chant your rounds, then, or don't chant Hare Krishna, then you're making a choice not to make spiritual advancement. It's your choice. And you're making a choice to, return to birth and death in this mature world. It's your choice. It's your choice. It doesn't bother me. You're choosing. So whatever you do, you're choosing. But we don't want to take responsibility, usually, for what we choose. Just like today, someone asked me about anger. And everyone has an excuse why they get angry. Some people say, I'm in Maya, that's why I got angry. Other people say, if they're not devotees, the devil made me do it. Other people will say, it's your fault. You made me angry. So we don't take responsibility for any of our choices, basically, or any of our actions, or any of our feelings, isn't it? We always want to blame someone else. But we take the credit for the good things, anyway. Oh, you led a nice kirtan. Yeah, I led a nice kirtan. Oh, I chanted my rounds. You know, you take your credit for the things you do, good things you do, but then the bad things you want to blame someone or something else or some impersonal force. You know, why you didn't chant your rounds? I'm in Maya. That's a good excuse, you know. But so the idea is to take responsibility for all the choices we make in life and make them from the heart. And if you take the responsibility of not chanting your rounds, don't blame that you're in Maya. That's not the reason you're not chanting your rounds. You chose not to chant your rounds. And you're also choosing to get whatever result there comes from not chanting your rounds, right? That's your choice. My business is just to point out the ramifications of your choice. You understand the results of your choice. That's my business. Not to get heavy with you, not to give you a guilt trip. You know, parents sometimes try to control their children with guilt trips, isn't it? They say, unless you do what I say, I'm going to have a heart attack and die. You ever hear that one? That's it. Don't you know your grandfather has a heart condition, and I'm losing my kidneys, and you're going to be responsible for my death. I got that when I joined the Hare Krishna movement. My mother said, I'm dying. And, unless you come back, I'm going to die. Of course, that was almost 40 years ago, and she's still alive. And not only is she alive, I mean, she swims every day. She's about 85 years old. She has more life than I do. She drives a car, swims every day, plays sports, So it didn't work on me. So a person convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So we should actually facilitate people making decisions by explaining ramifications, that's all. But not force people. Krishna consciousness is so nice, too, that if it's explained nicely, properly, purely, who will not be attracted? Just like we were talking today about Krishna, how he's so humorous. We were having these discussions. Krishna steals butter. Krishna, even steals girls' clothes sometimes. Krishna does all these naughty things, and he's so humorous. Even when he kills the demons are humorous. Like you take, you take Lord Ramchandra's pastimes, and how Lord Ramchandra killed Marich. I mean, it's humorous. And who Marich was, and anyway. So many stories are there. So Krishna is so attractive. We have to have that faith that if we just present Krishna as he is, people will want to do it. It's no problem. If you present Krishna to your children the way he is, they'll want to be Krishna conscious because Krishna is all attractive. But if we force people, then ultimately they will not be able to be steady or be continued in Krishna consciousness. So there has to be that whole change. I know it's a change in paradigm for many of the older people, isn't it? Of force. You have to do it. I'm your mother. I mean, if I had listened to all that, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I'd be a doctor. Of course, some of you may think, well, that would have been better. What does a sannyasi contribute to society anyway? He's just, one of those people who just takes charity. Anyway, what's the use of those sadhus? Anyway, but anyway, so let people make choices in life. And with children, like Prabhupada said, these are Prabhupada's instructions. Up to a certain point, there can be some discipline. But then after a certain age, you're the friend of the child. Friend means what? You talk about things. You say, what do you think about this? You let them make decisions. You make family decisions with them together. You bring them in to them. After a certain age, you do that. And that's really what... If the children feel that, they'll be very much bonded to their parents. And if they're very much bonded to their parents, the parents are their friends, then all sorts of bad association at the school will not affect them, isn't it? How to avoid bad association? You actually have to give people good association to have them attracted to good association. So that's the method. Okay? Any other questions or comments? Yes, if someone's not chanting their rounds, we just talk to them like friends. Like that, yeah.
Just thinking the importance of giving people a taste.
Yeah.
Experience, because you can tell the theory. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get a Christian, it'll be so wonderful, and they look at the parents and they're like, you know, just falling asleep chanting,
yeah,
or, you know, whatever it might be, that they're not really enthusiastic and they don't see the experience of it, or they never get the chance to go to the temple because their parents just can't take them or something.
Yeah.
So the chance, you know, that to get that taste and an experience is also important. You know, it's realization, not just theory.
Yeah, we need role models. I think role models are practically the most, like Prabhupada said, you know, example is more important than precept. So in other words, we need someone we can look up to. Like, I mean, definitely, like my role model was Prabhupada. I saw Prabhupada and I said, boy, I'd like to be like that. You know, and then I immediately became Krishna conscious. Well, tried to become Krishna conscious. So yeah, the children need role models. Good examples. Not the philosophy is do as I say, don't do as I do. That doesn't work. But also not the philosophy is you must do what I say. That doesn't work either. The philosophy is like, here's my example. I'm happy in Krishna consciousness. That's up to you. You want to be Krishna conscious? You choose. And if you don't, that's your choice too. That's Krishna's given us free will. Isn't it? Like, the question always that I got asked by people is, if Krishna likes us so much, why doesn't he force us to be Krishna conscious? Krishna could do it, you know. He has no trouble forcing. He's in your heart. He's giving you remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. Mantat smritya. Gyanam aponam cha, right? So why doesn't Krishna do it? Because he wants you to love him voluntarily. That's a standard answer. We all know that answer. Because Krishna wants you to figure it out and say, you know, I love you, Krishna. I want to serve you. I want to please you. I want to be with you. Not, I have to love you, Krishna. I have to serve you. I have to be with you. Oh, 16 rounds. What do I get? Another day older and deeper in debt. You know, there's a song like that. An old ritual song from the United States. You ever hear that song? 16 rounds, what do I get? Another day older and deeper in debt. You don't know this, I'll have to teach that to you. You know, 16 rounds. You grind out your rounds.
So many things came up from.
Yeah. You know, it's terrible. I mean, but you should be thinking, I'm chanting my rounds. I want to chant my rounds. I'm happy to chant my rounds because this connects me with Krishna. Think about why you're doing. That's called the sankalpa. Before you do anything, think about why you're doing what you're doing rather than just, I'm doing it because I'm supposed to. Then you'll make a lot of spiritual advancement. If you actually have that, I'm doing this because of that. Otherwise, you can just spin your wheels like a car that's stuck in the mud. You understand? Ever got a car stuck in the mud? Of course you know that. Tavuni, I'm sure you got a lot of cars stuck in the mud.
Four-wheel drive.
Yeah, they got out. But if you didn't have a four-wheel drive, the wheels, because of the differential, everybody knows what a differential is? He knows, he works with cars. But the differential is working. And you just dig yourself in deeper. You don't get anywhere. So if you want to do that, then you can just keep chanting and not get anywhere. But if you just do it with your heart, you know, do devotional service with your heart. And then all sorts of good qualities arise. Like we were talking the other day about compassion. You know, the heart should become soft by devotional service. So when one sees someone else suffering, animals suffering, or other living entities suffer, then immediately there should be a response. I have to do something about it. Not that just like a devotee walks by, I'm chanting my rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, you're hungry? That's your karma. Hare Krishna, 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 I've got to finish my rounds. Oh, you're dying? That's all right, you know. Suffer, you know. I'm a devotee. I'm better than you anyway. No, but automatically, if someone is serving Krishna with their heart, the natural compassion arises. You cannot tolerate seeing any other living entity suffer. That's a sign of advancement. That's a sign of soft-heartedness. Like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, he was soft-hearted. Of course, Krishna had to direct him in the right way. But he was soft-hearted towards his family, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Prabhupada says it's a natural compassion of a devotee. A devotee is naturally soft-hearted. Soft-hearted means understanding, compassionate, empathic with others. All right. Everybody's hungry? One prasadam. No. So, any other questions? I guess that's it. A little lesson from the teacher. Anyway. Choice, yeah.
Spend quite some time. Anything we do is our choice.
Yeah, we should always take responsibility for everything we do. We always have a choice. Even if someone sticks a gun in your head and says, give me your money, you have a choice, right? What is your choice? Give him the money or get shot in the head, but you still have a choice. So you can joyfully give him your money. I'm choosing to give you my money because I want to live.
Was it a choice to have a birth? Your birth?
Yeah, we chose our birth too. We chose our birth, we chose our mother and fathers. I hate to tell you that. But because of our desires and consciousness, we're choosing. I mean, a lot of things we don't choose to happen, but we can choose our response to that particular thing. We can always choose how we respond to something. Or how we think about something. We can always choose that. So take responsibility for your actions, take responsibility for your feelings. It's all choice. Don't blame anyone else. You made me angry, Bhuvabhango. I can't make anyone angry. They make themselves angry. And no one can make me angry. And that's not a challenge. Please don't take that as a challenge. But we choose. All right? So the boss wants us to stop now. She's the eldest Vaishnava here.
I want to get a flower to get ready
for you. She said, Mara, stop so I can get the flowers. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Jai.